Let's start with what happens when police stop someone who appears to be under the influence.
Sir, do you mind taking off your glasses for me? So you see the tip of my finger?
Yep.
Okay, can you just follow without moving your head?
In this demonstration, Cambridge police officer Jason Callanan tests whether the suspect's eyes move in sync, whether they jump or flutter while in motion. He continues with two more standard field sobriety tests, balancing on one leg, and yes, walking a painted pavement line.
Sir, can you place your left foot on this line? When instructed, you're going to take 9 heel-to-toe steps down, turn.
If the suspect wobbles or the officer smells alcohol, the next step is a chemical test, the breathalyzer. Police can revoke the license of anyone who refuses. With the breathalyzer, there's an established blood alcohol concentration level that signals impairment. In adults, it's 0.08. For marijuana, the field sobriety test would start the same way.
But what we don't have is a machine like the breathalyzer, and what we don't have is a test for THC levels. No.
William Brooks is chief of police in Norwood and president of the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police Association. He's read about marijuana breathalyzer tests that are coming to market, but questions whether they will be useful because there's no consensus about how much THC makes a driver dangerous.
It's not so much the machine that detects the THC, it's the science and research that backs up what those results mean. And we don't have that yet, no.
There are many reasons it's complicated to use a chemical test to measure the effects of marijuana on things like brake and gas pedal coordination, distance perception, and general attention. Marijuana may show up in urine, saliva, or blood tests weeks after use, long after the effects have worn off, because marijuana is stored in body fat. And the test results will vary based on whether you smoke or eat weed. Dr. Igor Grant, head of psychiatry at UC San Diego, says your blood count will peak within minutes of smoking, then drop quickly as cannabis is absorbed into body tissue.
At that point, you could have a relatively low level of THC in your blood, but the drug is still in your brain. So there could be a disconnect between the actual level of THC in the blood and how impaired you are.
Still, blood tests are part of legal marijuana laws in Colorado and Washington. And both states have a legal limit, similar to 0.08 for alcohol, that triggers criminal cannabis charges. But these limits based on blood tests are controversial. AAA, in a report released earlier this year, says the connection between blood concentration and impairment is arbitrary. Dr. Grant, who also runs UC's Center for Medicinal Cannabis Research, says police should focus on measuring coordination, perception, reaction times, and attention, not chemicals.
We should move to a way of actually measuring impairment rather than measuring what's in your blood or urine. Because at the end of the day, what counts is, are you actually impaired, not whether you have had exposure to something or other.
In Massachusetts, police aim to test sobriety for marijuana in 12 steps, conducted by a specially trained drug recognition expert, or DRE.
These are the tools of the trade. We have a blood pressure cuff, a stethoscope, a urine cup if the subject wants to provide a urine sample.
We're back with Jason Callanan, one of 100 DREs in Massachusetts. Most police departments do not have one. So when a patrol officer suspects drug intoxication, Callanan or another DRE meet the suspect at a police station. The DRE exam, which takes about an hour, includes pupil size, temperature, blood pressure, and several balance tests. Suspects do not have to submit to the exam, and unlike with alcohol, there's no penalty if they refuse. If a suspect agrees, Callanan records the results and pulls out a DRE matrix of drug-related symptoms.
So what we do is I take this, I look at all these indicators of impairment. This is almost like a big jigsaw puzzle. I'm like, okay.
Callanan writes a report based on his findings that will be available if the case goes to court. Sometimes his report is accepted as evidence, sometimes not.
If you come in as a DRE, some judges don't think the science is valid and the DRE evaluation will be excluded. Some judges accept the program and you'll be able to testify.
Supporters of the DRE program are looking for a test case that might go to the Supreme Judicial Court and validate, or not, the evidence DREs collect. In the meantime, police chiefs say they need more DREs to deal with an expected increase in impaired drivers, although it's not clear that will happen once marijuana is legal in Massachusetts. There are studies that find more accidents involving marijuana after legalization, and some research that shows no effect. Dr. Grant says marijuana alone tends to make drivers more cautious.
They almost overestimate the impairment they have. And that's why the typical joke is where a drunk driver is speeding around and a stone driver is driving in the slow lane at half the speed they should be driving.
DRE guidelines say users typically exhibit the effects of marijuana for 2 to 5 hours. There is widespread agreement on one point. If you're impaired, don't drive. Mary McGuire is Massachusetts spokesperson for AAA Northeast.
Driving is the most dangerous thing that most of us do every day. Our first responsibility is to ourselves, our passengers, and everybody else on the roadway. And when we drive impaired, we're endangering all of those other people out on the roads.
But how to make sure drivers who don't heed that warning are held to account? It will be some years before experts agree on how to measure marijuana impairment. For Rhode Island Public Radio, I'm Martha Biebinger in Boston.